More, everybody.
Whew,
that's loud. Let's see. Today, we're going to start with 460. And let's stand, please. 460. For the beautiful day, the opportunity, Lord, to come here today to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for our church. Thank you for my church family, Lord. Thank you for our pastor and his wife. Thank you, Lord, for the music. Lord, we can't talk about how long it's going to take, Lord, to thank you for all that you do for us. But you're there for us always, watching over us, protecting us. Lord, on the front of our bulletins, it says, it's a prayer, Lord. Send a revival, O Christ, my Lord. Let it go over the land, the sea. Send it according to thy dear word, and let it begin in me, Lord. Help us to have that prayer, Lord. Help us to be revived, Lord. Lord, if we revive, maybe we can spread it worldwide. Help us, Lord, to remember to tell you that we love you. Help us, Lord, to remember what our Savior did for us. Lord, it's just more of your love poured out on us all the time. Be with Pastor Day as he speaks, Lord. Guide and direct there. And Lord, we're going to consider communion here later today. Help us, Lord, to purge the sin from us, Lord, and understand what we're doing today when we partake. I pray the Holy Spirit has his way with our service today, Lord. Just be with us all. Thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's see, how about 673? 673.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway,
are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us. Soon His mercy will be whole. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Thank you. Let's see. First of all, the nominating committee is going to meet after the morning service today. Don't forget that. Tonight at 6 is our evening service. Don't forget that also. Difference a positive attitude produces. Women's Bible study, the 14th of March at 6 in the evening. Men's Bible study again on the 18th at 9 o'clock in the morning. Personal evangelism is going to be the 7th of March. Music meeting after the evening service, March 12th. Youth event has been changed to Friday, March 17th. Let's see. Turn your agenda items in today. Deadline today for your decisions for offices. Annual business meeting is March the 8th, which is this week. Anybody have anything else? Al.
That is election night.
Yes. Pastor, stop for the week. Go ahead, Pastor.
Will the Bible study this Thursday?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also the message tonight will be the completion of the Holy Spirit.
Boy, I got it all messed up, didn't I?
Well, that's okay.
We'll get it right. We'll get it right.
Not Deb's fault. It just happened.
Good. Here we go. The words of Jesus, they that be whole or well need not a physician. They that are sick, you understand what sick is, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Thanks. Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for allowing us to come here today. Lord, I just pray for a great time in your word along with Pastor, Lord, as he guides and directs there. And afterwards, Lord, we're going to partake in communion today, Lord. Help us to just bear our souls today, Lord, and know what's going on and remembering the love that our Savior had for us, that he gave his life for us, Lord. But especially today, Lord, we know he's alive. And he lives within us. Just pray this be a day that would honor and glorify your name. Please, Lord, be with the gift and giver now as we take up this offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Kim's going to play first now.
Kim, you're still my favorite flautist. But I'll tell you what, I appreciate Kim. She has a joyful spirit. I hope today each and every one of us is here with joy, but it's not a fake joy, but it's a joy from the Lord. In fact, as I greet you this morning, and I want to welcome everyone here this morning for our time of worship before the Lord today, I trust it'll be an experience that is worthwhile and that is glorifying to God. But if I were to ask you today, why do we come here on the first day of the week and other times? What's it all about? What's the baseline reason we come here? And I'll tell you why we all ought to be fired up today. And I see it. I see a deadness in churches today all over. But we're here today to celebrate. And what are we here to celebrate? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are no longer dead, but we are alive in Christ if you've been redeemed through His blood. And I'll tell you what, we have no reason to be negative or down. And that's why, again, Jesus rose on the first day of the week. Historically, the new Christians, that new program called the church, gathered on the first day of the week to celebrate that we are no longer dead, but are alive in Christ. Hallelujah, amen. I can't produce fake life, but Jesus can provide, and He can produce genuine new life in you. And you can leave here with joy in your hearts, if it isn't there today. But greetings in His name. This is all about Jesus today and the gathering again of His people. And also we're here to be edified in the Lord, but also to worship Him. So today, a couple things before we start, and then we're going to have a time of prayer. But our message title today is The Vine and the Branches, and that's found in John chapter 15, and we'll look at that. I do want to announce, and I think Lonnie might have, but there are youth release forms back in the foyer if you have young people that are going to be going on this outing on the 17th, and those need to be filled out or they cannot participate in that trip. But those are back there, and if you have any questions about that, please mention that to me. Also, one last warning. Today is the day that all people that have been nominated can either accept or reject, and that needs to be done before we go down to our nominating committee this morning, right after the morning worship service. So anyway, those things are important, that we take care of those processes, that the Lord's church be run and governed through the will of Him, through the people that are appointed to those places of position. Anyway, glad for everyone that's here today. Glad for anyone that might be visiting with us here today. Loosen your tie if you've got one on, and let's just absorb God's word. And we're glad for everyone, no matter how you came today. We're glad that you're here. And trust this will be a time that will be beneficial for all of us involved, seated at the teaching of the Lord Jesus today. So before we start, we're going to have a time of prayer, and I like to take 15 or 20 seconds here because this is a worship service, and we do need, again, if you're led this way at least, if you really want to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, this is a time to come before Him, to open your heart to Him, to let Him know, again, His worthiness, and to be sure that we are bowing down before Him today as we gather together with Him in our presence. So let's go to prayer. And then we'll hit the ground running. Our Father in heaven, we come today assembled as believers, or those at least that are interested in you today, Lord, that have come into this gathering. We thank you today, Lord, that you are the facilitator of it through your grace and mercy bestowed to man through the abundant grace given by your Son, Jesus Christ, and his work for us on Calvary's cross out of love. And so love is also an underpinning here today that operates within the body of Christ. And I pray that that love would be sound today, that it would be active. And Lord, that we would seek your face in all things today, in our lives and in the gathering of the group. Lord, we thank you for every soul that's come through these doors. We thank you that we are here not by mistake or by an accident or just by a given chance, but you have foreordained us to be in this place today and again to be under the teaching and preaching of the word as we worship you in spirit and in truth. So, Lord, I pray for the hearts here today. We know this, Lord, is a race. We have a hard time with hard heads and hard hearts. And your word shows the example of that all the way through. When people become into that type of a situation, things can get very interesting. But I pray today, Lord, that you'd soften our hearts and that you'd speak to anyone that may be here today, Lord, and call them to salvation. But Lord, that we'd not leave here the same, but that we would leave here changed and challenged. Now, Lord, again, we consider not only the things that go on within the walls here at Fruitland, and I do ask, Lord, your forgiveness. We're all sinners. I hope all of us are saved by grace, but I don't know that. But, Lord, it's only because of that grace we're able to do and accomplish anything. But my thoughts also today, Lord, and prayers go to those that are outside of our walls. I think about the person that may be passing in front of here right now on the street. They've seen the sign. They see people here today. And Lord, they're either going to choose to accept or reject investigation of you this day. So I pray, Lord, for our community and those that we all have a touch with, an association with. Lord, that we'd be a ray of light and salt that, Lord, would stimulate others to be interested in you. Lord, we know that you are in the, you've come to save sinners, just like we saw in our pastor's thought here today. And as we studied Zacchaeus down in the junior-senior high class, Lord, you looked up in that tree. Zacchaeus was looking for you that day, but you were looking for him as well. And I pray, Lord, that there be a connection made today, if it might be your will. Now, Lord, we also pray for a few things internally in our flock as well. And, Lord, we always are in need of unity and productivity, Lord. Help us to not be consumers, but producers. But along with that, Lord, we know that the factors of life and this broken, cursed world, Lord, have an effect on people. There may be people today of our number that are ill. Some may be ill due to the effects, Lord, again, of direct sin. Lord, there could have been a fight in a home today, strife in a marriage. Lord, all kinds of hindrances, grief that may be in the hearts of those today that are grieving. We just ask, Lord, that you would help them, that you'd bind up those wounds, and that you, again, would come to us as the balm that's found in Gilead. Now, lastly, Lord, but not leastly, you got a poor fool standing up here today delivering your word. Paul said, preaching is foolishness to the unbelievers. But I pray today, Lord, that you'll help me in my frailty to bring forth this message. And Lord, that again, we would understand that your word is never foolishness to those that understand that. And really, Lord, what you've told us is that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's real foolishness. But I do need your help, Lord. I'm weak, but you're strong. Help me, I pray. May this time be honoring and glorying to you, especially, Lord, as we remember what you did vividly here in the communion service toward the end of our service today. May this all be about you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, a few weeks back we focused on the olive tree that God used to describe Israel and the church being the grafted in branch on the stump that pictures Israel in its current day during the church age. If you're interested in that, it's in our archives and you can listen to it on the website. But this kind of has a tie into that as well today. This morning we will explore another horticultural. Horticulture means the cultivation and raising of plants. Some might just call it farming or farming if you want to be totally accurate in your pronunciation. And it always involves some kind of production of fruit or a value-oriented thing that we derive from a crop. Because we don't just go out merely, just like I said about church, this is a celebration of the resurrection. We don't just come here because we always do it. There's a purpose in it. And there's a purpose in everything you and I do every day, or there should be. By the way, life should never be mundane, because there is excitement in everything we do if we're in it with Jesus Christ. It'll be exciting. And there's no insignificant moment of any day or time in our lives when you're a part of Jesus Christ. And that's something that we need to think about. And our goal should be fruit production. Today, though, Jesus is going to use a description in John chapter 15 of a vine, and I believe in particular a grapevine. The Bible, though, and I'm sorry to say this, and you all know that I'm agriculturally oriented, but I don't use that a lot in preaching, but today we're going to look at an agricultural picture of something. And like it or not, the Bible is an agriculturally oriented book. A couple of weeks ago, Kim and I had the privilege, and you allowed this, and I thank you. And by the way, you should be thankful that we've had a little outreach like this to go up and preach up at Pocahontas. And Lynn got to preach here, and he delivered an excellent message. And I told him, well, maybe I need to be gone more. Because you all need a vacation from me, too, sometimes. But Jason, are we okay on sound? Okay, I thought you were waving me down there. But what I, and now I'm having one of those senior moments, what I did tell him up at Pocahontas, hopefully it'll come back to me. Sometimes I lose those things. Yes, it came back to me. The young man that's there, he's not young anymore, he's our children's age, getting around 40, but that had invited us to come up there was a classmate of mine, and he was just a young man when I was an old guy up at Faith. And I told him, I said, Mike, and probably he'll listen to this, but I told it up there too. I said, Mike, a couple of years, he was dating a girl up there at that time named Melissa, and her dad was a dairy farmer. And I said, Mike, a couple of years milking cows might be more valuable to you at this time than going to seminary. Because I said, there's nothing better than a wet old tail slapping you across the face, the Holy Spirit or a cow stepping on your foot and then turning to boot on your foot. Oh, that's a painful one too, and you're milking cows. But the bottom line is what? God uses everything we do to his glory if we'll allow it to happen. And he's talking to us about an agricultural principle today, which is a spiritual principle. And so today we're going to explore the passage together with the goal that we all would be high quality fruit producers. And we'll examine this as quickly as we can in the time we have. And that is producers of, not necessarily grapes, but spiritual fruit to God's glory. Not to our glory, but to his. So if you'll turn in your Bibles today or on your devices to John chapter 15, we're going to briefly run through this. You have a fill-in-the-blank sheet that I prepared earlier in the week as I put this message together. It's got a lot of blanks in it. Don't worry if you don't have it. I didn't put it up on PowerPoint. I probably should begin to do that again more. But if you don't catch it, you can see me afterwards and I'll help you with the blanks. But the idea here will be found in these texts that we are looking at. And so we go to the fundamentals first. John 15:1 says, and this is the words of Jesus speaking, I am, again, who is God? He displays himself as, I am. We show that we're God's as well every time when we say, I am, whoever the name that has been given to you is. And Jesus is describing himself here as he shows us through his earthly ministry more concisely what the Word says about him. He's showing himself. It's like, it's not just telling now, it's showing and telling, and Jesus is giving this analogy. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is, in the King James, it says the husbandman. But you could insert a word in there such as farmer or overseer. A farmer, by their very nature, must be an overseer. I've been told, and I'm not here to talk about farming, but I've been told that a farmer must possess more qualifications than any other skilled trade to survive. You have to be a little bit of everything to make it work. And that is really the truth, and that is how God is. He has everything. He has all the capabilities to be the perfect farmer. There is no such thing here on this earth in human condition, in the human place, that is perfect in that kind of a thing. But here it is. Jesus is the vine. Here's your blanks. Jesus is the life-giving conduit for the grapevine. In other words, life and the vine comes from him. Now let's talk a little bit. We're nearly in spring. We're in meteorological spring right now, but we're not by the calendar yet. But you and I all know what's going on in the trees. In fact, there's some folks here I visited with the other night. They said, and we looked it up, didn't we? When can you spray fruit trees? Is this still a time to do it? And the answer to that is yes, they're still dormant, but they're not going to be dormant much longer. By the way, what we're going to talk about in this passage is pruning, too, this morning. And you can still prune a tree, but you better get to going because time's running out. Because what's flowing? Woodrow, what's flowing through the veins of our trees right now? Well, that, too. I'll call it, technically, yes, but sap. And the trees went dormant last fall, late through the winter, but now they're coming back to life. By the way, anyone that's not filled with new life in the spring, you can see it all around you. Why shouldn't the Christians be filled with it? Amen, huh? Jesus is the life-giving conduit for the grapevine. That's where the energy comes from. He's the sustainer of it, and he gives the energy and the elements that are needed to make it productive. Never forget that, folks. He is the vine, and we are the branches. We'll find that out. But God, the Father, is the overseer of the vineyard. God the Father is the overseer of the vineyard. So now we go on to verse 2 here. And Jesus says the following. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. The he here is God the Father, the farmer. The overseer of the vineyard or of the crop is the one that must tend the crop and must do the things that are effective once again to see that crop flourish and for there to be good quality fruit. Quantity has an involvement in that too, but we'll find this in a little bit here in our study. Quality is always what God wants. And it's a general principle. Don't spread yourself too thin. You know, in my life, I've spread myself thin many times. But as I look back at my life, I believe this. We need to be more focused on a few things than focused on many things and not do them well. And that's the same thing with God's program. It's better to get a few things and do it correctly and do it to the glory of God and bear good fruit than to not do it well and not have that capability and quality in us. So the question comes to mind here when he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. We're going to look at this a little more concisely in a few minutes, but there's two things, I think, that causes God to remove branches. And I believe this, folks. One of them is people, and this could be a warning to people today that might be here, that think they're Christians, but they're not. By the way, the word Christian has a lot of meanings. But I'm going to define what I believe a Christian is when I use that terminology. First of all, I am a Bible-believing Christian that has been born again in the blood of Jesus Christ. When he bore my sins on Calvary's cross and shed his blood to atone for my sins. And I believe that he did that not only for myself, but for the sins of the world. And that his blood is sufficient to cover my sins, and he has declared me righteous. It's new life is what I've accepted in Jesus Christ. You could tag other things on it in classifications, but folks, if that is not the case in your life, just coming to a Christian denomination or a Christian gathering, the word Christian is very loosely used. But I define it as someone who's been given new life in Jesus Christ by faith through His grace alone. Let's keep it simple. Remember Hillary? Kiss. Keep it simple. You said it, Lonnie, not me. If you're not genuinely a part of the vine, if you're not anchored into the vine, you're going to be removed. It's going to be because you haven't borne fruit. Genuine fruit for Jesus Christ, because our genuine fruit, we'll get to that here also in the message, is going to prove out who we are. The second thing is talked about a little further down the line here. But folks, I believe there's another branch that gets removed from the vine. And that is born-again believers. No, you do not lose your salvation. But born-again believers that backslide away from Jesus Christ when they produce no fruit. And this is a dire warning, and we'll look at the scriptures here in a minute. But folks, if we start fooling around and we don't do what Jesus asks us to do and what He equips us to do, we may get a trip home to heaven early. You know why? Because Jesus loves us that much. And He's not going to allow us to continue to hurt ourselves or hurt His cause. But He's going to say, I'm going to have to take you home. It's kind of like when you have an unruly child. You know, I'm thankful every day that we are no longer parenting young children. Are you, Kim? Oh, I did tell another joke. It's on tape. You can, up there at Pocahontas. The young man that called me up there, the associate pastor, he has 9 children. Praise God. I joked with him on the phone last year. I said, Mike, I said, you know, Kim and I are praying for a Abraham and Sarai moment. You know why? Kay, you know why? I said, look at all the tax credits you got from the and the program, you know, that they handed out. No. Well, anyway, I think the Lord gave us enough, Kim. And you're never done being a parent. But this is a dire warning, though. Seriously, folks, if you're a believer in Christ and you're fooling around, you're tied into the vine, God may take you out if you are not producing fruit. And there's more on that coming. Anyway, because it says here, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. Anyone gone through a trial lately? Anyone gone through a training session with Jesus lately? Right now, and it's getting late, but you should have been doing this. And I got to confess to you today, you all know this. I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I also don't take care of my apple trees. I don't have any grapevines at this time at our place. But my apple trees are a disaster. Tell me why. Because I've got suckers on my trees. Now, young folks, this is not lollipops. A sucker on a tree is a branch that's randomly growing on a main artery of the tree. And what that does, it is produces nothing. It grows leaves, it looks good, but it produces no fruit. And the energy in those suckers saps the energy to produce good fruit. And let me just say this, what Jesus is telling us in this passage is, He goes out and prunes. And the way He prunes is sometimes He has to deal bluntly with us to get us back into the type of fruit production, because quite frankly, we shoot off too many branches, we have too much leaves growing that are not productive. He prunes us back. Anyone ever been through a pruning session with the Lord? You don't need to tell me, but you and the Lord know it if you have. He does it, every branch He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. More fruit. Here's the blank for number 2. God evaluates every branch on the vine. God evaluates every branch in the vine by the standard of fruit production. Born again true believers are ordained by our type to produce fruit. Let's take a little walk over to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Galatians or Galatians, I've heard it pronounced like that. I believe it's Galatians. Comes right before Ephesians, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And here's what God's Word says under the hand of the Apostle Paul. But the fruit of the Spirit, these are the fruits we're talking about here. Kim, you didn't know what this message was. I told her in the middle of the night, but she doesn't listen. But the fruit of the vine, the fruit of the Spirit is, Kim played it, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Can I ask us all this morning, where are we at in regard to those in our life? Sometimes Kim and I have had trouble with fruit in our house. Sometimes I'm not interested in fruit, and sometimes the oranges begin to wither. And sometimes I've lost interest in the apples, and when I take a bite, they're all pethy. And I'm ready to spit it out and throw them out. That's one good thing about living on the farm. We don't have to worry about throwing stuff in the trash. We just throw it right out the door. That's right. But the fact of the matter is, we're called to be bearing fruit. It's not an option. It shouldn't be a rote thing. It should be something we desire to do. Every one of these things that I just read here today, if you're a born-again believer, we ought to be desiring to be producing those through the Spirit and His leading in our lives. Anyway, God evaluates. Branches that bear no fruit are removed. And I mentioned the two things there, pseudo-Christians and those that are backslidden, possibly can be. By the way, I want to underscore that. Does not mean we lose our salvation. Once we're saved, we're saved. But I'll tell you what, folks, there are things that we need to be aware of in that program. Branches that bear no fruit are removed. And again, I'd like you to look at Matthew 7, 16 through 20 is another supporting text here. Matthew 7, 16 through 20. Matthew 7, 16 through 20. It says the following. These are the words of Jesus once again. And he's talking here about false teachers, but what he goes on to say, he says, "You will know them, or you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" We can evaluate our relationship to Jesus Christ today through the fruits and how we're producing if you're a born-again believer. "You shall know them by their fruit." Oh, I read that. 17. "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth," in the King James it says, "evil or corrupt fruit." Okay? "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit." This is something to examine in our lives today. "Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Don't go judging other people's salvation. Judge our own. Our fruits. But you have a good idea not to judge people to condemn them. Not krinos, but anakrinos in the Greek. We have a reason, though, to assess people that may not have that fruit. And to do it to what? To help them or introduce them to Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, folks, we do have that responsibility. Now, along with these blanks, and I don't know if these are all on your sheet, and the ones bearing fruit are evaluated for efficiency and quality by pruning, which is cutting off the excess suckers that I mentioned earlier that sap the energy so more good fruit will result. I think this is on your sheet. God wants us to concentrate on our spiritual fruit production priorities rather than produce subpar quantity fruit. Quality versus quantity. And I already illustrated that. Now on to back to 15 and verse 3. And we're going to have to pick this up a little bit. Jesus is talking here to the listeners, the disciples, and he and those around him, and he says, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Now, folks, this morning I've done a lot of babbling up here, but what you really ought to be listening to today is not my speech, not my poor ability to preach, but you need to be listening to the Word of God, and that's why our messages must be centered on the Word of God. Because God prunes the believing branches through His Word. God prunes the believing branches through His Word. Ephesians 5:26. Galatians, Ephesians 5 and 26. I got a good turn that time. But here's one of the places that the scriptures say that we are cleaned by his word, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. This is in the context of husbands and wives here, and that relationship that pictures Christ in the church. But we are cleaned and cleansed, folks, through the word of God. Today, the word will do one of two things, really, today. It will change you and clean you, or you will reject it and stay dirty. And that's the two things it will do. But God washes us through the water of his word. The directives that clean out the unproductivity come from the word of God. Now on to verses 4 and 5. John 15, 4 and 5. Jesus says, abide in me. What's it mean to abide? Live is one way you could look at that. I like the word dwell. That compares with abide. But it basically means to totally exist in and for Jesus. How many of us could meet that litmus test this morning? Well, I can say this. I probably cannot meet that all times, and probably neither can you. But that is the goal. Because Jesus says, abide in me, simply, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. We must understand our, I can't think of the word I want to use now, but our necessity of being anchored to Jesus as the life-giving sap that energizes our fruit production. And Jesus says now, this classic verse in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. If your fruit is lacking today, it's because of a disconnect in part from the vine, who is Jesus. For without me, you can do some things. The scriptures say, without me, you can do nothing. Folks, let's admit it today. We are totally dependent on Jesus, the vine. To remain productive and bear much fruit, or have longevity as well with that, the branch must remain connected to the life source that is the vine, who is Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you just one turn here today of evidence of a healthy connection. And 1 John 3:6 is one of the places and a main focus of this very thing. How can you know that you're connected to Jesus and that your connection is good? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 6. 1 John 3:6. Another thing is here, the same words used here by John again. And in verse 6 he says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whoso sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Folks, here's the language construction here. It does not mean that believers will not sin. Let's face it, folks. We can diminish in our sin. We can work toward that goal, but we'll all be sinners. But here's what Jesus is saying. People that have not been redeemed and are locked into habitual sin can know that they are what? They are not connected to the vine, at least with a good connection. So the thing is, folks, our evidence is that our sin is checked, that the Holy Spirit is telling us, John, when you sin, you know that this is not what will be beneficial for productivity of the fruit of the Spirit. And that's one of the greatest evidences that brings that about. Without a healthy connection, we can do nothing, no fruit, and we wither away. If your connection is broken today, seek restoration, that we not fall further away. The longer a branch goes without its nutrients, the closer it becomes to total and whole unproductivity. Without a healthy connection, we can do nothing, no fruit, and we wither away, and the term for that is backslide. You're going to head backwards. By the way, no neutral in God's gearbox. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. Verse 6, 15:6. If a man abide not in me, Jesus is teaching here, he says, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. This is what I was alluding to a little bit earlier. If the connection is lost, the branch is disposed of to prevent its disease from spreading. This is what I alluded to earlier, that God may take someone home early, a believer. Because understand this, folks, when a branch is diseased in real life off of a vine or off of a tree, you need to get rid of it, because what lives in that dead branch? Decay and disease. And that object of that dead limb or branch is going to have an impact on the whole vineyard, or in this case, or the orchard, whatever you may choose to think here about that. And God has to take it home. And I want to give you that reference, 1 John 5:16-17. 1 John 5:16-17. This is for us to consider again, because you know what? God wants us to be aware of what's going on. It's a warning. If any man, and I won't preach on this because we're running out of time, but you can see it. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death. In other words, by the way, folks, the Bible says there can be a sin that we commit as a believer, and God says, you're done. I love you so much, I'm not going to let you go any further on this, as I illustrated before. He shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. In other words, God forgives, and we should forgive others. But here's the important thing in this verse. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Meaning, there are some things that prayer is not going to fix. And if we get ourselves in that position, and we know that we're in that position, or headed for that position, we better take heed. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. In other words, God is very gracious with us. He's put up with a guy like me all these years. And can I, well, I can't say that about you folks, because you may have a different perspective in your life, but I don't think so. I think God's putting up with all of us, and we better take this to heart. Okay, back to the text, 15:7. If you abide in me, there's that word again, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Answers to prayer flow from the living vine to the living branches. God's not answering my prayers. Maybe there's a disconnect somewhere. The Bible talks about a lot of things that can hinder our prayers. Answers to prayer flow from the living vine to the living branches. 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that you produce some fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Wrong. What's it say? That you bear much fruit. Quality is the first thing, but quantity doesn't hurt. Right? What happens when you have a crop that is both quality, high quality, and quantity? The word comes to mind, it is profit. We want to be a profitable thing to the Lord Jesus. By the way, that's another thing that's brought up in Scripture. The Bible tells us that even at our best, we're still what? Unprofitable servants. Don't get high-minded about stuff. Keep it in line with Scripture, the way Jesus intends it to be for us. The Father is glorified, here's your blank for 15:8, in much fruit production. Now, we've got to get this wrapped up. 15:9-14. Listen carefully. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love, ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my... Don't raise your hands. How many of you are really joyful today? I lack it. But I do love delivering the word. I love seeing how God's working in lives, including mine, and what's coming down the trail. But it's not about our joy. Whose joy is it that we are involved in this? Jesus says that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. By the way, it's not all about us. We're here to bring glory and joy to Jesus today. Can I dare ask us this morning, have we been doing that today? And I'm asking myself, you know that. This is my commandment. Oh, no, it says this is my suggestion. Come on. What's the difference between a commandment and a suggestion? A commandment is a direct order to accomplish something. This is my commandment that you coexist. I told you before, the church is filled with a lot of people that don't like each other. And because I say that, they don't really love each other either. But we need to love each other. Remember, that's the first fruit in Galatians 5, right? The fruits of the Spirit are love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Love is the life-giving, fruit-producing nutrient whose flow is displayed through commandment-keeping in the living branches that yield the fruit of joy. By the way, 1 John 1:4, don't turn there unless you want to, but it says essentially the same thing. Flowing, we need to be flowing in love for one another. Jesus said it, not me. Well, I said it too, but I attribute it to him. Last couple of verses here, and then we go to communion. 15. Henceforth, Jesus says, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. There's no class of workers in Jesus' vineyard. We're all in it together. Jesus is not the management, and we the servants. Even though you can make a case, if your heart's humble and right, that we are Jesus' servants. But Jesus wants to treat us as what? Co-equals. By the way, for you, those of you that have worked in shops and different jobs over the years, wouldn't it have been a lot better in those jobs, or would it not be today if it operated the way God says? But because of our sin, it's got to be hard. By the way, the Bible, you don't need labor contracts, you don't need strikes, you don't need any. All we need to do is do it God's way, and it'll be great. Bible gives the recipe for all that stuff. When are we going to hear it? Well, you heard it this morning. Excuse me. Verse 15, the branches are not just rote servants, but cooperatively a part of God's farming operation. What kind of a boss would you rather work for? One like Jesus, or one like many of the human bosses are that we may have worked for at one time or another? Where they're here and we're here. Obviously, we want to be cooperative with the Lord Jesus. He values us. He loved us first. Last verses, 16 and 17. Anyone excited that we're about done? You have not chosen me. By the way, folks, you didn't totally make the choice to be saved. You had a part in that. But let me tell you, it's like old brother Zacchaeus this morning, young folks that we learned in the junior, senior high class. Jesus looked at him. By the way, what color eyes did Jesus have? Well, I can't say for sure, but I believe they were brown. I believe that Jesus was a nominal-looking Jew and likely had brown eyes. Now, someone's going to take me to task on that. But when Jesus looked at Zacchaeus in that tree and said, Zacchaeus, come on down because we're going to your house. When Zacchaeus looked into Jesus' eyes, he came because he knew Jesus meant business. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained or ordered or predisposed you that you should go. And when you get saved, it's all over. You're headed for heaven. Don't worry about anything else. Isn't that the teaching of evangelicalism today? Well, there's a truth to that, but there's also a lie in the truth. Because Jesus has more expectations. He says that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. Not till it rots, but that your fruit has a lasting impact on everything around you. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it. These things I command you, that you love one another. Last blank, believers have a preordained trait of much quality. In other words, different grapes, different apples. Everything has a trait. We have a trait as believers that is placed in us by the Lord. Of much quality fruit that is never forgotten and remains and is displayed in our love for each other. Folks, that's how the fruit is displayed. It's displayed in love. That's how it's noticeable. Here's the conclusion. Here's the conclusion. Here's the conclusion. Hallelujah. We are rapidly coming to the end of the dormant season. I already told you that earlier this morning. Spring's here, the season of new life, where new life for the year becomes apparent. Where is God's action going to take place in you and I as the branches? The time for pruning for this season is nearly over, and if not done, what happens? Another season goes by. No fruit or poor fruit. No fruit production. The diseased branches will be destroyed. You heard that this morning. Jesus said that. If you're a pseudo-Christian but not a genuine born-again new life believer, your branch is headed for hell, for the fires of hell. It's simply stated. But if you're a believer not producing fruit, you are in danger of being removed to heaven. These are stern warnings. By the way, if anyone needs counseling, I'll meet you at 3 o'clock today. I'm joking about being blunt and stern warnings, but the Bible's full of them. But I am serious about this. I'll stay with you as long as you need if you want to talk about Jesus and you want to be in a personal relationship with Him, and you're not. I can't save you, but God's Word will be what will convince you through the power of the Spirit. There are stern warnings for all of us. And they have precious promises for us of full joy. Anyone lacking that this morning? To those who are nourished from the production in Jesus' love for us. Remember, every branch or tree has a limited amount of seasons to produce. Some of us are getting along further in the seasons than others. And there's not an easy way to catch up, because one season bears its own fruit. Anyway, that's all I've got to say today, folks, but there's an invitation to be saved. And again, today it's a day for the believers to turn around, for the unbeliever to turn around, to the words repent, but to turn around from the direction you're headed, tread back to Jesus. Head for Jesus. And for those that are saved, it's a day to turn around to Him and be restored with Him. That is a message that's given out to all unproductive branches. I'm done yakking. Amen. Deacons, come on up. This morning we're going to participate in another one of Jesus's this do commandments. By the way, what we practice here at Fruitland, and there are messages in the archives, and I can only allude for a few minutes on this, we do not practice closed communion here at Fruitland. We practice close communion, which means everyone who is a born-again believer and under the guise of 1 Corinthians 11 and other teachings, again, is in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and one another, is free to participate in this memorial service under those criteria that are found in Scripture. So, in other words, we don't have communion police here. This is between you and the Lord. But I always remind us of what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, and he says, I'll paraphrase this, he told the Corinthian church, some of you folks have way departed from the facts of this. This is about a reminder of what Jesus did for us. It's about Him. And he told him, he says, you better be careful what you do, because there's people that are sick here at Corinth, and some, again, that are being taken out through death. And one of the things he says is, be careful when you participate in this. Is it a lie in your life? Are you in fellowship with Jesus and one another? And what Paul's really telling us, he says, it's better to pass this by and get into fellowship. Either to be saved or to get into fellowship where there's a mishandling between believers, than to take it unworthily. Because we're really here, this is not Jesus' literal body and blood, but this is a representative to jog us to think about what He has done for us. Deacon Denny, I'm going to ask that you pray this morning as we again look at the symbol of Christ's body, which bore our sins on Calvary's cross. Denny, thank you.
Places smooth. Amen. Father, again, we thank you. crackers are unleavened. Leaven in the Bible, or yeast, is a symbol for sin. And the cup, again, is fruit of the vine. It's not fermented, which also would be leavened. Anyway, we attempt to portray that accurately, but the main thing is what? That we understand within us what this is all about, and it's about Jesus. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Some of you may have a critical spirit this morning and say, "Pastor, we forgot to sing a hymn." I know that we did, but I did not forget. The time is late. But you know what? We can sing in our hearts as we leave this place today. But most importantly, take time to greet one another in Jesus' name. There's never an excuse for us to leave this building and not know someone that is here today. Let's stand for the aromatic benediction, and you are dismissed. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us his peace. In Jesus' name I pray.